This is the morning of the 27th of February, and I'm going to do a boo in response to Brian Hartchins' wonderful ramblings about stories from the 70s, because although I didn't remember all the cassettes that he mentioned, some of them did invoke rather a lot of memories, and so I thought, well, I'll talk about some of the cassettes and things that I remember, and you never know, somebody listening may have an old copy or whatever that they've put onto the computer and are happy to email across or whatever. So I thought I would talk for a little bit about that. Well, one of the LPs that Brian mentioned were the railway stories, as they were called then, before Thomas the Tank Engine. That's the new name it's been given since Ringo Starr did the films. But Johnny Morris was brilliant when he did those. I think there were four LPs altogether. I've got one of them on a tape, and I think I might have another of them on an LP somewhere. Maybe another two on an LP. I didn't have the fourth one, though. But the one that I've got on a tape is the one that starts with Henry and the Elephant. And it's got other stories on it, like Henry's Special Coal and Henry's Sneeze. But the very good thing about the way Johnny Morris read was, although he read very slowly, he had different accents for all the engines. So Gordon sort of came from, I always imagined him coming from Manchester, you know, and he used to say things like, "It's shameful to treat tender engines like this. It really is. Henry gets drenched by elephants. James spins round like a top. And I have to go backwards." It's funny how you remember sort of phrases, you know. And James had a Welsh voice. He was the splendid red engine. And then Thomas was like a Cockney. "Silly old Snow, silly old Snow." And of course, there was always Terence the tractor, who went, "Biggida boggida biggida boggida biggida boggida biggida boggida. Hello, Thomas." And there was Bertie the bus, who was Irish, of course. And Henry had a very croaky voice, didn't he? "Pushing trucks, shh, shh, shh." He went like that. And then there was Toby, the tram engine, who had a very nasal sort of voice. I can't really do Toby very good. And there was Edward. He had a sort of southwestern voice. I don't think he did the full, all of the books, because there were more stories that Willie Rushton also did, where Doc and Scar Lowy and the Thin Controllers Railway is mentioned. But I don't think Johnny Morris ever read any of them, or if he did, I certainly didn't know about it. I also remember a very interesting series of books, and I don't know who these were by, but I bet loads of you who are blind will remember, because all our parents bought us storybooks, didn't they, for Christmas and things in the 70s. So this was like, there were usually one cassette, and they started with a little bit about the author sometimes, a little introduction about the author, and it was always read by this same guy with sort of quite a posh voice. And then they would read some of the book, and then there'd be a summary to take you further on into the book. And then the narrator would read some more of the book. So it was kind of abridged. So you'd get a bit of the book, and then a little explanation which would sort of explain, quite a few chapters of the book away. It would summarise, and then you'd get more of the book. And also in between, you'd get music as well. And some of the music in those books were quite haunting. There was one sort of cello piece that sort of went, I can't even hum it in tune, actually, but it was a funny little piece, and it used to be in a lot of the books. But there were things like The Wizard of Oz was one of the books produced in this series. There was Treasure Island, read by John Pertwee. As I say, just in one cassette with a bridge. And there was, they also did a version of the Weird Stone of Brisingamen, Journey to the Centre of the Earth, Black Beauty, was in one cassette as well, but I also had another version of that in two cassettes read by Hayley Mills. But these one cassette ones seemed to be in libraries, they were, you know, seemed to be quite popular. I also remember getting, and I've still got some of these, the Wurzel Gummidges, read by John Pertwee, with a story on each side. They were quite good. And I've got one sort of acted cassette, which I've still managed to keep, which has got Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves on one side and Aladdin on another. And that's got some music in. Does anybody remember also the Naughty Little Sister tapes read by Felicity Kendall with various music boxes in between the stories? I've got two of those, one My Naughty Little Sister, which is a double cassette, and one My Naughty Little Sister and Bad Harry. I've also got Little Grey Rabbit read by Beryl Reid, but the Little Grey Rabbit books that Lulu and I would really like to get hold of are... one cassette, we think, with probably two or three stories on, I know, or maybe even four stories on each cassette, and they had music in between the stories. I think they were read by somebody called Hannah Gordon, but the reader was better than Beryl Reid, because if it was Hannah Gordon, because she used to do different voices for all the various animals, and there were stories like Water Rat's Picnic and The War of the Weasels and various different things, things like that, and they were great. I'd love to get hold of those again. Another one I'd like to get hold of, which I don't seem to be able to find anywhere, it's a version of The Jungle Book, which is abridged. Now, I managed to get hold of the second Jungle Book from Runcorn Library and copy that. But the first Jungle Book, it's just got three stories out of the first Jungle Book: Mowgli's Brothers, Kaa's Hunting and Tiger Tiger. And it has sitar music at the beginning, and I think it's read by someone called Richard Brine. I think that's the name of the reader. And he did the second Jungle Book, three stories out of the second Jungle Book, which was Rikki Tikki Tavi, Red Dog, and The King's Ankus, which I've got that on a tape, which I copied. Brian also mentions Michael Aspel. I don't remember the first book that he mentioned, but I do remember a tape Michael Aspel did with stories from England, Ireland, Scotland and Wales, and one of the stories was Finlay the Hunter, which was a great story, which I really liked. I've also got somewhere the It Shouldn't Happen to a Vet and If Only They Could Talk, abridged into two cassettes, read by Alf White himself, you know, the James Herriot, and also a lovely version of What Katie Did, again abridged. I think it's read by Gwen Watford, and that was bought for me by my nana and granddad. In fact, it was my granddad Ernie who was instrumental in me joining the Runcorn Library as a child, and I remember the first three tapes he got for me, which were Alice in Wonderland in three tapes with Jane Asher as Alice, which I've now got on vinyl. And then there was Beatrix Potter Stories, but it wasn't the Wendy Craig version, which I've got that still, actually. The Tales of Mr. Jeremy Fisher. She says it like that. But this was some of the people from Play School, the programme Play School, that were reading them. And the third one was The Story of the Nutcracker, which was brilliant. I wish I could get that again. That was really, really good. But of course then, in the very early 70s, I didn't have any facilities for doing tape to tape. I just had an ordinary little tape recorder, which was rectangular, and it had a little webbing carry handle, and no radio on, but it used to come everywhere with me. It used to take four batteries. And of course, there was no facilities then. We couldn't really do tape. Well, you could do it, but you had to use something called a dim plug, which I only got sort of later on, and you had to have two tape recorders to, you know, to do that with. Another tape I got from the Runcorn Library, which I've managed to procure from a bookshop, but it's in two cassettes, whereas when I got it from the library, it was in one, was Ludo on the Star Horse by Mary Stewart. And that has some music as well in between the various chapters. That's a really, really nice story. It's about a guy in Germany who has this old horse, Renty, and the horse decides that he doesn't want to die in the normal way. It wants to go up and join the sun's chariot because he's a halflinger and he's a special breed of horse. So he escapes from the stable and Ludo follows him. And they have to go through all the star countries. So, you know, they start off in the land of the goat, and they go through all the various ones to the land of the crab, and the scorpion is the one they end up at, and the archer. And they see all these, you know, star characters and things. And the scorpion gives Ludo a choice, and he says, well, you can either leave your horse in the valley here with me, or you can take him home. And when Ludo says, oh, I'll take him home, the horse starts to cry because he wants to go up with the sun. Oh, it's a lovely book. It's really, really nice. And so Ludo leaves him in the valley, and he wakes up, you know, with his father and everything that, you know, that's found him. So those are some lovely books that I remember. Also, I remember getting The Secret Garden, read by Gwen Watford, and a nice collection of fairy stories, which I think I've still got, which has got things like Beauty and the Beast, read by Pam Ayres, and various different other stories like The Little Match Girl and so on and so forth. And Lionel Jeffries reading Winnie the Pooh. Well, that was fantastic. I loved that. And the way he used to sort of, the intonation in his voice, he sort of goes, in which Pooh goes visiting and gets into a tight place. Edward Bear, known to his friends as Winnie the Pooh, or Pooh for short, was walking through the forest one day, humming proudly to himself. He'd made up a little hum that very morning as he was doing his stoutness exercises in front of the glass. It went like this. La la la, la la la, la la la, la la la, and so on and so forth. It's absolutely crazy that I can remember passages of this stuff. It's mad. Oh, does anybody remember Mary Poppins? I'm talking about versions that were acted out with the characters Jane and Michael and a lady as Mary Poppins and Miss Lark. And there were about three or four different cassettes with the various Mary Poppins stories on, single cassettes. I'd love to get hold of those again. They were really good. And I also remember borrowing a book from the Runcorn Library called Wee McGregor by somebody Bell, I think. And it was read by a Scottish person. That was good. And Molly Weir's Shoes Were for Sunday. And there was a lovely version, abridged version, of Laurie Lee's Cider with Rosie that had music in it. I've since managed to get a full version of the Cider with Rosie, but Laurie Lee does sound older when he's reading this version. I could go on forever. I'm not going to go on anymore because I've probably bored you all stupid. But as Brian said, it was a wonderful era, because being a kid in the 70s, because all these audiobooks were just coming out. I bet you loads of them have been deleted now, you know, and never to be found again, which is, you know, an awful shame, because a lot of work went into producing them and so on and so forth. But they gave me hours of pleasure. The Hobbit by Nicole Williamson, narrated by Nicole Williamson, is brilliant. I don't have that on a tape or anything, but I did find a version on WinMX, which was obviously taken from an LP. The recording isn't great, but it's good to have it there, and I've got it now as an MP3 file on the PC. So yeah, there are a few of my reminiscences from the 70s, and maybe some of you remember some of those tapes. I also meant to say I don't remember the Bobby Brewster read by the author in Caliber, but I do remember Miss Ware's, our our first teacher, reading us those books, and also Mrs. Pepper Pot as well, who shrank to the size of a pepper pot. Yes, but Bobby Brewster was really good. I remember those books being read, but I don't remember the actual cassettes themselves.